what I've also found is that once you give men something to do and you take the pressure off their penis and you're like, hello, have you met my clitoris? Have you seen my nipples? This is what I like. Then they're focused on another project, another thing, and sometimes their erections magically come back. You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. All right, real talk. Penis problems are more common than you think, but don't let shame stop you from healing, both inside and out. Today, we're normalizing the experience of penis challenges and providing tools to help mend your member. She wants to end a relationship because he can't keep it up. Are there other issues at play beyond sexual incompatibility? Can erection issues from a sex-related injury be reversed? I offer some science-backed treatments to check out. Another penis owner can only orgasm through solo sex. Are trust issues to blame? We talk through some exercises to help get to orgasming with the partner. I'll cover all this and more in this episode. Intentions with Emily. For each episode, I want to start off by setting an intention for the show, and I encourage you to do the same. My intention is to alleviate any anxiety you may have around penis health and function. Our bodies are dynamic with amazing healing powers. So whether your penis problem is physical, mental, or emotional, I'm here for you, and I've got solutions. Please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen to the show. My new article, When It's Time to Unplug, Plug in a Magic Wand, is up at sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Check out my YouTube channel, social media, and TikTok. It's all at Sex with Emily for more sex tips and advice. If you want to ask me questions, leave me your questions or message me at sexwithemily.com/askemily or call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX or 559-825-5739. Always include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. And it's totally cool to change your name or choose to remain anonymous. Before we get into today's episode, I want to tell you about our partner, Laylo. Today's episode is all about the penis, and Laylo, well, they have just the toy to please the penis in your life. So their TOR2, T-O-R-2, it's a flexible vibrating cock ring. It has these powerful vibrations that deliver intense pleasure for both partners, right? So the penis feels good. And then if you're having sex, let's say with a vulva owner, then the vibrations hit the clitoris, the external parts of the vulva, and it feels amazing. So this couple's toy is designed with smooth, body-safe silicone. This is very unlike the problematic cock ring you'll hear about later in this episode. This is made with all the right materials. It comfortably fits all penis sizes, and it's also waterproof, has an easy-to-control interface, and you can switch between 6 different stimulation modes. And it's fully rechargeable and provides up to an hour and a half of pleasure at a time, which is great. You don't have to worry about it dying on you. It has powerful yet whisper quiet vibrations that Laylo products are known for. This is what I love about Laylo products. They're quiet. So you have to worry about your kids hearing or your roommates. You can find the TOR2 at laylo.com/TOR2. Plus, get 25% off all Laylo products if you use code Emily at checkout, which is, by the way, a really great offer. Remember, that's laylo.com/TOR-2, laylo.com/TOR-2, or by clicking the link in our show notes. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode. Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a magic wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the magic wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my magic wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago. Because now there are multiple iterations of the magic wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the magic wand rechargeable, tiny with the magic wand mini, or micro. Micro is really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part, though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the magic wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. Our sexual pleasure depends on how we handle stress and where that stress is coming from, a new study showed. I tell this to you because it's not really a surprise to say, but what I like about this is the genitals are the most honest part of the body. When your genitals say no, that can just be your mind's way of telling you something's wrong. For women, bad sex stems from job stress, external pressures like a deadline or a nasty boss. For men, it comes from burnout and exhaustion from within caused by being too invested in the rat race. So sex is something we want to do when we're relaxed and we're happy and we're in a good place. But if our brain is on, like I said, our brain is the most prominent, most powerful sex organ. If your brain is consumed with stress and worry about money, job, family stress, you're not going to all of a sudden want to have sex. So the study shows that men had weak erections or none at all when they were stressed out. Women were more dry. So I'm just reminding you that your happiness and your, like, dealing with your stress level is, I don't know, I mean, I can tell you from someone who's stressed a lot, and I work a lot on not being, but it happens that if it just is like a run, it's never ending. If you have a pattern of stress in your life, it's really not going to end. Without saying, I don't want this anymore. I'm going to change my behavior. I'm going to change my patterns. I'm going to say no to things. I'm going to make more time for myself. I'm telling you, if you go home and have an orgasm or you masturbate or you have sex, you're going to feel better if you're in a healthy sexual place. Sarah, 22, in New York City, says she started seeing someone new. We're running into some sexual difficulties. He hasn't been able to maintain erection. We've tried a number of times. He loses erection as soon as it looks like things are heading towards sex. He also won't attempt any other sexual acts, won't touch my breasts or butt without his hands being moved to those areas. I want him to initiate sexual activities and sex with me. I've expressed my interest in having him be more sexually aggressive. I wondered if he's interested in me or in sex. He assured me that that's not the case. He's been sexually active before, says he actually has a high sex drive, but I think he's in his head now. Any suggestions? Are we just sexually incompatible? He also indicated a desire to get into a relationship, but I don't feel comfortable doing so without seeing whether we're sexually compatible. Any suggestions on having the talk without putting more pressure on the performance? It's a great question. So this is something, gosh, I could go off on this forever, but men are losing erections now more frequently at a younger age than I ever heard from people before. A lot of times it's because of anxiety or a repeated pattern of losing an erection. So then you're like, oh, I'm going to lose an erection. And usually it's because you're inside, you're really in your head. And for some men, there's a lot of different reasons why this could happen. It could be happening because he's watching a lot of porn. You know, maybe when there's not the stimulation of porn, I mean, think about it. When you're 22, you essentially grew up with porn. You grew up with it on your phone. You had an iPad. You grew up with it. So porn is always the precursor to sex, right? And that's every time you masturbate, you watch porn, masturbate. And then you're into real life and you're having sex with a real human. And it might just feel like your body isn't ready. It isn't prepared for it. It's sort of off because you're not having that porn precursor. That's one theory. There could just be some pressure, some anxiety around it. Maybe it's happened before. He might be on medications that could cause that. If he's drinking a lot, that could also cause it. There's also studies that have shown lately that this generation of people, like in the younger, in their 20s and teens, are maybe born with less testosterone. It could be a hormone issue where they're saying it's because of our foods and certain things. This is a newer theory, but it could be that, because I'm hearing it more and more often in ways that didn't make sense. But it could be porn. It could be anxiety, medications. So I would just... I think that that's what's happening is that, Sarah, he's getting anxious because he's losing his erection. So he can't think of anything else. He can't think about your breasts. He can't think about going down on you. But I think what you need to let him know is that it's okay. Because what I've also found is that once you give men something to do and you take the pressure off their penis and you're like, hello, have you met my clitoris? Have you seen my nipples? This is what I like. Then they're focused on another project, another thing, and sometimes their erections magically come back because they're focused on your pleasure. They're engaged in that task. They want to please you. You know, I believe that most of our partners want to please us. And so I would just tell them, like, well, this is what I really like. I think you got to talk to them. So I don't know if you had the conversation outside the bedroom where you say, you know what, let's talk about our sex life. I understand sometimes you lose an erection. That's totally, you know, I don't think we should trip on it. Comes back eventually, because it does usually come back. But you could say, here's what I love, and I know I've mentioned this to you before, but sometimes I think maybe you don't know what I like, so let me show you what I like. Like, show him how you like to be touched. Show him what kind of touch looks great on your nipple, feels good on your nipples. Show him what feels good on your body. I think a lot, and remember, you're in your early 20s. I'm going to assume that neither one of you have a lot of sexual experience yet with sexually healthy relationships. You might have had a lot of sex, but it doesn't mean they were healthy and communicative. So I agree. Do not commit to anybody until you find out if you're sexually compatible. But the only way you're going to find that out is if you talk about it and you experiment and see if he's receptive to it. And then if he's not, he's like, I don't want to work on it. I don't want to talk about it. Well, then you have your answer. Today's show is all about the penis, and our first caller has a story about how his penis injury might have contributed to the evolution of safer sex toys. This is John, 45, in Iowa. Hi, John. What happened?
Back in about the mid-90s, when sex toys were designed by, I feel like, almost anybody with a patent,
yeah, exactly.
I bought a vibrating cock ring. It was really hard plastic. It had the bullet on the top, and it had the cord, and you had to use two AA batteries with a little wire remote. So I took it back at the time with my ex. Like I said, this was 20 years ago. I put it on, and the cock ring fit. And I'm thinking there's a little bit of give with this maybe. So, of course, as sex is going on and I keep getting harder and bigger and harder, I notice that I'm having sex in doggy style, and I look down because of the feeling of a woman's natural lubrication and blood are two sort of different feelings for me. I can sort of feel it. And I'm looking, I'm like, there's some blood here. And I'm asking, I'm like, is it your time of the month? Is it cycling? She's like, no. So I go and I turn on, you know, turn the lights on because the lights were dim. And literally what happened with the vibrating cock ring, because it's hard plastic, it expanded, it cracked, and literally cut the top of my penis, and I had about a 2-inch scar on the top of my penis where, as we like to say in where I live, you know, it cut me open. You can see the white meat.
Mm. Ouch. What happened after? Okay, let me just tell people that they don't make toys like that anymore. They're all body safe materials. Like but I remember those toys that were like plastic and hard, and they literally don't make toys like that anymore. Thank God. All the things I talk about are like, this stuff doesn't happen, but that's horrible. Did it heal right away, or what happened? Oh, painful.
So what happened afterwards was, I was sort of freaking out, and I was like, okay, I got it. And it's going to, you know, I was only 23 at the time. I was like, okay, well, let me go ahead. And I, cause it was with my ex-wife at the time. I was like, well, let me, you know, put a condom on. I put on the condom, finish, clean myself up, bandaged myself up. And I was so heated and so mad, I drove down to the adult toy store and like took it to the guy at the counter. And I said, you're pulling this off the shelf tonight. And he said, why? And literally, I was so mad. I remember there was a few people in the store, and I literally just pulled my pants down, like, in front of them and showed them the scar. And I said, yeah, you need to pull this off the shelf now. Then I threw the sex toy I had with me in the trash. He returned my money. He walked over there to the display counter and pulled all of them off the shelf.
Oh, and, hero. Okay. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's horrible. Jonathan, have you ever used a sex toy again?
Yes. I've called you several times.
Okay.
I told you before that men should have a drawer full of sex toys. I do. I have several different cock rings, vibrating cock rings. So yeah, I do have a multitude of toys.
Okay, good. I remember now. I remember your voice. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Electroshock stimulation. I just keep getting more and more and more.
Oh, I'm so glad. I got to try it. Yeah. Okay, before we take a short break, since today's show is all about helping penises, I want to talk about one of our partners that's dedicated to doing the same, and that is Promescent. Now, you've heard me talk about Promescent's delay spray, which helps penis owners gain control of their ejaculation and close the orgasm gap. But today, I want to talk to you all about their Vitaflex supplement for men. It is one of their best sellers, and ever since they started it, it's been going crazy. People love it. It has nitric oxide, which relaxes blood vessels, allowing for more blood flow and improving erectile strength. It also has zinc, which naturally increases testosterone production and cell metabolism, which not only help increase libido and stamina, but also restore vitality and increase energy. You just take 3 capsules twice a day, so that's 6 total, and you will notice improvements in just over 90 days. My listeners get 15% off when they go to promescent.com/Emily. That's promescent.com/Emily for 15% off. Plus, when you order online, you'll get free shipping, a 60-day money-back guarantee, and discreet delivery. So make sure to go check that out. And after the break, we'll be taking more calls all about the penis. So don't go anywhere. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. We have another caller with a penis injury story. This is Steve, 46, from Ohio. Hi, Steve. What's going on?
Probably about 20 years ago, well, probably right before, you know, we got married. It was doggy style position. It was, the rhythm was going great. Problem was, she went too far forward, I came too far back. And when, you know, I went forward again and she came back, I wasn't on target. And yeah, kind of missed, and I hit like kind of her mound pelvic bone. And it hurt, but I finished, and then I went to a friend of mine that was a doctor, and he had to do like a CAT scan, and I got lucky because they said sometimes you actually have to have a catheter put in and everything, but I, the two chambers that are in the penis, mine did not, they didn't rupture or whatever, but after all these years, I have having some issues you know, not getting an erection, but definitely keeping it. So that's the one question I wanted to ask, too. I don't know if you've ever heard of Trimix. It's an injectable.
I have. Yeah.
Once in a while I have to do that. But I don't know. I mean, it's my urologist gave it to me, so I'm assuming it's safe. But I didn't know if you knew anything about that.
I mean, if it's working for you, I would keep, you know, I would use it, but it's to treat. But there's some other things that you might want to check out. Right now, there's been some great technology advancements in male sexual challenges. I hate just the word dysfunction, but there's one called Boston Scientific, and I'm just going to tell you exactly. There's two things I can tell you about. It's a penile implant. And it's a like a prosthetic that goes in your penis, and it sort of has something that sort of you have like a little pump that it's attached to it, and it can help men have keep their erections. It's like a penile implant. It's called Boston Scientific, and I would check it out. It's like can help with ED, and how it works is they put inside, and I believe you have like a little pump with it that kind of helps you pump it up. So I would just check it out and see if that's something new that you'd want to do. And then the other thing is, okay, so the reason why men experience so much a lot of erectile dysfunction is because it's a blood flow problem, right? Even for women, if we don't get aroused, a lot of times it's blood flow. And so there's something that it's like a laser treatment on your penis that helps stimulate blood flow. And then there's one that also uses like PRP, or it's like platelet-rich plasma. So it stimulates you with your own blood cells to help you stimulate growth again. And that also helps men with erectile dysfunction. And I'm looking up the other one.
There was a doctor or somebody I'm talking about.
Edward Cartman. And I don't know why I'm going to his Instagram right now, because I'm trying to remember the name of it, and it's called Gainswave. Here it is. It's called Gainswave. It's Gainswave, one word. Non-invasive procedure that helps treats the root cause of ED, increasing blood flow using high frequency pulsed acoustic waves. It's been medically proven to provide patients with results for 2 to 3 years. And so that's just another one of the treatments that can work. And that's also it's not painful. And it uses like acoustic, like high frequency, like a machine. You'd basically go to a doctor's office and you'd go a few times. And so if you're having good results and there's no problems, that's great. But I also want you to know that we're constantly innovating. Think about it, sex. So there's always innovation in this field.
Yeah.
So I would check out Boston Scientific or Gainswave and see. And then there's also PRP, which uses like the plasma, which has to do with like our blood reinjecting into specific areas of the penis, can also show like when you they also do, like I said, the O shot for women. So it's called the P shot for men. That's also, the P shot, penis shot, now you'll remember it that way, can also be helpful. So these are just other things, it can really help people, it's designed to kind of help. All these are helped to design sexual performance in men. And so it's had a lot of benefits, even for men who have like Peyronie's disease, their penis curves. And so your penis is numb before the procedure. And it essentially, again, it's just harnessing your own plasma and takes the PRP from your blood, reinjects it into your penis. All right. Some more penis things. Jamal, 35, in Kansas, he damaged tissue in his penis. I'm just curious. I literally in 15 years have never talked about break like this in at length. So tell me what happened to you, Jamal. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show. I was with this girl for a long time, and we were jiving pretty well in the bedroom. She got me to explore some things, and that was good. But one in particular night, she was riding me. She was on top, right? And all of a sudden, it felt like a pop, right? But I know that nothing broke, but oh my goodness, the pain was immense.
Wow.
So we had to stop. I told her, I said, hey, we got to stop. And so she did. And I instantly was like, something is wrong. I just knew something was wrong. It was bad. And so we went to the emergency room. And I was hesitant to go there. I thought maybe I'll wait till the next day, get a hold of my regular doctor, But so we go to the emergency room. And we do some scans and all that stuff. Anyway, I had cartilage that was messed up.
Okay.
And I missed 4 days of work, and I'm a hardworking man. All right. I missed 4 days of work. And my boss said, well, what's wrong with you? Why can't you come in? I said, well, I got this note from the doctor. He said, that's right. I know. But like, what's wrong with you? So I had to tell my boss. That was awful. I tell you, he didn't know he never asked me again. I've only taken one sick day since then, but he never asked me what's wrong with me no more. You know,
he's like, okay, didn't need to know. But you recovered, right, Jamal? Do you have any residual pain?
No. You know, a little bit of time. You know, there for a while we had to take it easy. But it was probably about a week and a half before we could do anything again.
Okay. You know? Well, that's not too bad in the overall scheme of life, week and a half.
Well, I'm not in the overall scheme of life. That's right. But, you know, a little bit of time and we was able to get back into it. Yeah.
Okay. Good, Jamal. Well, thanks for calling. So she was just on top of you. Is that what happened, you said? And then she, like, leaned a certain way? Is that what happened?
Well, no. Like, she, okay, so usually when she would, like, gyrate and when she was riding, she just go back and forth. Well, this time she's going, like, in a circle, you know.
Oh, the circle position, like riding the joystick.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. She was getting into it, you know, and I was just like, well, it is what it is. That's great. You know, she's going to get hers, you know. And, I mean, it wasn't anything special for me, you know, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. She got to get hers. And I was just like, uh-oh. I was like, that ain't right. I had to pick her up off of me. You know, I had to grab hold of her. I picked her up off of me. And she was like, what's going on? You know, because she was feeling it. And
yeah, she's like, no, don't stop, don't stop.
I was like, I think you done broke me, bud.
Oh, my God.
I think you done broke me. But she didn't. I mean, I'm good to go. But
okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jamal. Well, be safe. Bye, Jamal. Great to hear from you. Let's talk to Hannah, 33, in Pennsylvania. Hi, Hannah.
Hi.
Hey, Hannah. What's up? Thanks for calling.
Hi. So, I first of all have a question actually about condoms. Both my and my boyfriend are sensitive to latex. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually allergic.
Okay.
So, but it's extremely hard to find a good latex-free condom that is for a girthy guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, we have tried the Trojan Supras right now, but...
Okay. Have you tried Skin?
Just too small.
Yeah,
even
you're right.
I've had that. Size is just too small.
You're right. No, I had that problem once because I love Skin because they're non-latex. They're like polyisoprene or something. Bummer. Yeah, you're right, though. I found that their king size is not king. So there's a lot of new condom brands, and I wish I could remember the one. Someone just sent me, I think they're called like, maybe it is One Condoms. You can find a perfect fit. Like, I think you can make, it's called My Perfect Fit. 60 condom sizes. It's onecondoms.com. And you can find 60 perfect fit condoms. So, and I don't know if they're latex or not, but Jesus, people should just make non-latex condoms already. I need to get into the condom business and the lube business because I know exactly what is needed. Right? Try that out.
My second question is about lube, though, because... Right now we have a polyurethane condom that we like that's usable, but it's hard to find a lube that is compatible with that. Like, I was going to try Uber Lube, but come to find out they're not compatible.
All right. So then I would say you got to try a water-based lube. Yeah. No. I'm with you. Because I love silicone lube. Like, I'm like, fuck, you got to cut it.
Yeah.
But I would recommend Pure, because it sounds like if you guys have some sensitivity, Pure makes a water-based lube for women. And it's a really good formula. I highly recommend it because it's all like body safe ingredients.
Okay.
and that's PJUR. It's their Aqua formula.
Okay.
So I would recommend that. And yeah, it's true. You can you'll weaken these condoms with the oil. So I would try that. Those are, 'cause then you have a really safe lubricant that has good ingredients, and then the condoms. Right. But I also think, I guess I didn't realize, but the polyurethane, because I used to use silicone lube with skin condoms, but I didn't. So that's me, and I never got pregnant. But I wouldn't. That's what they're saying. Don't do it. Don't do it. So I would try, just get a really safe lube, and then try out these one condoms and let me know what you think. All right, Hannah?
Okay, awesome. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Hannah. Have a good night. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. And let's talk to Bentley, 40, in Kentucky. Hi, Bentley. What's going on? Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thank you. So I have a question for you. I'm kind of struggling with the repercussions of a recent relationship that lasted about 4 years, and it was a very, very toxic relationship, primarily from their side, just dealing with a lot of neuroses on their end and, you know, something I wasn't used to dealing with. But during our relationship, you know, we had, like, good sexual relations with each other. We had good intimacy for the most part. But a lot of the time, I couldn't climax, and I was just doing everything to kind of please them. And when they would do things to please me, it wasn't like, it didn't feel like it was enough, or like, it didn't feel like it was clearly to my satisfaction. But, you know, now that the relationship has ended, I still find, you know, like, self-arousal and self-pleasure more stimulating than I did being with them. But I have a hard time climaxing with any partner. And I maybe climaxed with them two to three times in 4 years I was with them. And that was very difficult to kind of deal with. So I wondered if it was something with me, if I would be able to get over this.
Yeah, Bentley.
No desire,
yeah. Well, wait. So, Bentley, when did this first off, what about before this relationship? How were you able to climax with a partner?
It was kind of the same.
Oh, okay. So it's always been delayed ejaculation. Maybe it takes you about 30 minutes, you think? 30 to 45, or you just don't?
None at all.
Okay.
I wouldn't. Yeah.
So and how about during masturbation?
Masturbation, yeah. I mean, I can climax, but you know, when I'm with a partner, sometimes it's like, you know, I couldn't do it. And I don't know if it was because I felt like I was being judged
judged for what?
But
I mean, yeah, Bentley, I mean, it's like, I think it's a lot of it probably is just, you just said, here's a few things that I'm picking up on. You're with your partner for 4 years, and you said they never were really touching you or doing things that made you feel good, right? Well, that's because, you know, they tried, but were you able to tell them, were you able to say, hey, this is what I need, this is what feels good? If you didn't feel safe with them, and you didn't feel like they really had your best interest, and it was pretty toxic, it can be hard to orgasm and let go, because sex is letting go. Sex is when you have no worries, and you're just sort of letting go, and you feel safe, and you feel cared for, and you feel like that person really cares about your pleasure. That's the best sex.
Yeah.
But if if you haven't had that, Bentley, I don't think anything's wrong with you at all. I think a lot of our orgasms have to do with our brains. How healthy is our brain? You know, what's our... Yeah, that's what I think. I don't think this is anything. Have you got, I mean, it sounds pretty toxic. You said it was toxic, but did you get into a therapy and figure out kind of what your part in it was, what his part was, how to avoid finding people like that in the future?
Well, I ended the relationship because they had been separated from their spouse and during the time that we were together. And I realized that they were really never going to leave their spouse. So I ended it, and, you know, I've cut off all ties with them and stuff. And it's, you know, I'm at the point now emotionally where, you know, I like the idea of finding somebody, but in my circumstances, you know, being a 40-year-old gay man, I don't I have serious trust issues with gay men in general, where there's loyalty and, you know, a commitment concerned. So I'm really just worried that, like, I'm never going to find anybody, and I'm never going to be able to enjoy a normal sexual relationship with someone.
Well, Bentley, is this something that you want, though? Do you want it? You want it, though, right? Like, because the only thing that's telling you that is your brain. So I think some therapy, like a commitment to a really good therapist, and you see them and you go in with the intention of working on your own self-love and confidence in yourself, knowing that you will find it. You know, you're 40, you're young, you're like a strong, healthy man. Like, I haven't met you, but you sound very articulate, and we all make choices sometimes that aren't so great for us. Usually it's based on some family patterns and something in our childhood. But I think if you really get into therapy with this thing, like, I want to be that, like, it's not going to happen because those are self-defeating thoughts, which we all have, okay? I'm never going to find anyone. Yeah. Is this it? This isn't it, Bentley. This could be the beginning, because now you're saying, I don't want to repeat my past. I do want to be with a good lover. I do want to be with someone who has my back and who feels safe and who wants the same things I want. And things like that don't just happen. We don't just stumble upon those people unless we clear out the things that's holding us back. Your roadblocks to pleasure. Like, it could be messaging. Well, I don't know. Yeah, Bentley, that's what you need. That is it. I mean, I'm telling you, because I don't want you to go another day thinking I won't find anyone, because you will. I mean, everyone who really wants to, and they tell me they've done the work, they worked on themselves, they find somebody. But this, if 40 is the time to figure out what those patterns are that you don't want to repeat.
Yeah.
So that will help you. Yeah, Bentley. And then it'll get you on a track where you're knowing that it's going to happen rather than the defeating thoughts.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
I mean, it could be a factor that I think I do suffer from, like, body dysmorphia. And I am, you know, I'm not unfit, but, you know, my BMI is a little too high. But, you know, by most regards, like, I'm pretty average looking and, you know, whatever. But I do suffer from, you know, body dysmorphia, where I never feel like I'm good enough. And that may have something to do.
Yes, Bentley, that's it. I mean, the fact that you could even articulate that, because you can work on that as well. First off, you can work on your relationship to your body, where that came from. Did someone shame you? Was it just a thing of control growing up when you felt like you weren't enough? Like, there was probably a time in your childhood where you didn't feel that you were enough. And so now in all your relationships, you feel that. And so you're going to pick people who will treat you that way, maybe. And so even though we can intellectually talk about it, it will help you so much to unpack it on a deeper level, because then you really won't be able to repeat them. It just won't even be attractive to you anymore. Because part of body dysmorphia too is, like, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot here to unpack. I don't even want to get into it. But you'll find someone who won't be looking at your body, won't be like, what's your body mass index? Unless you want that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that especially in our 40s, you get to pick people that are going to want you as the man that you are now, in all your glory, in all the things.
I thought that I had that with my last partner, you know, and I told them, you know, reluctantly, I told them that, you know, I had some of these issues. And within the very next day or two, you know, they would, like, if I was just eating lunch, they would give me this look, like, you know, eyes, feet, and, you know, just this expression. And it's very, like, emotionally abusive, and I found it very disturbing that you could feel your heart to someone and put yourself in a vulnerable place, and they would try to use that against you. And so it does make me feel, you know, as though I don't really know whether I can trust. You know, the gay community at large is very bitchy. Can I say that?
Yes, totally. No, see, the ones that you hang out with, they are. I get what you're saying, but not in every... You could find your people that aren't. I know a lot of wonderful gay men who are not that. But I know what you're saying. That's the stereotype, or that's, you know, I live in LA. Everyone thinks everyone here is superficial and, you know, whatever. You find your people wherever you go. Yeah, but then I'm like, well, those aren't my people. But Bentley, the fact that on, like, the second, right away, you've revealed something. So here's what it is, Bentley. You revealed something so vulnerable to him that you had body dysmorphia. And then the next day you're eating lunch, maybe you had some extra French fries, and he gives you a look. Just all that look, that is so damaging. Like, so now what I hope is if anyone ever did, and you probably were like, oh yeah, he's right, I shouldn't do that. But you want someone who's like, you eat that up. You have that extra fry. Have your rest of your sandwich. Like, keep going. You want someone who's just going to celebrate you and take that information and hold it dear and work with you on it. They want to make you a better person. They don't want to, like, that's what a toxic relationship is. They take your stories you tell them, your vulnerabilities, your perceived weaknesses, and then they use it against you. They put a knife in your back with it. And that is just so, and then you're so I don't want that for you, Bentley. Well, that's not how every man is. You will not, there are so many people out there for you, but I want you to believe that and know that you deserve that. And I think if you get into therapy and unpack this stuff, it'll help you get on the right track, and you'll know it. You'll know it too, because you got to know it. You can't. You can hear me go, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I know it for you. But there's just a little bit of work you got to do.
Thank you, Emily. I love your show. You're really, really.
Oh, thanks, Bentley. That's it for today's episode. See you on Tuesday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast, and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.